is happening, everyone? Welcome to the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm coming to you from the Cumberland Farms Lounge at our NBC Sports Boston Studios. Cumberland Farms coffee is just 99 cents. Any size, that's 99 good reasons to switch. We got Chris Forsberg, A'Sherrod Blakely.
What's up, Drake?
I don't know if I like this three-man podcast situation, boys.
Wow.
Someone that's because you're selfish.
Yeah, I am. I admit. You know what I mean? That's like
a walking bobblehead.
Just call me Kyrie Irving. I thought it was my team. Then we brought in LeBron James, and now it's somebody else's team. Come on, man.
First, it was never your team.
At least let me think it, right?
Are you resigning?
That's a great question. I have to think on that.
Him.
I have to sleep on that.
Stumped him. He was like, ooh.
I was like, oh, am I re-signing? That's a great question.
You got to wait. You got to wait till you have a crowd.
I got an opt-out in the clause. True, you know what I mean? Got the opt-out, right? Hey, we got a good show coming up. We're going to hear from Al Horford. You're going to hear from Kyrie Irving. You're going to hear from Gordon Hayward as they get ready to open up the season this Tuesday, guys. 7 o'clock, our pregame show begins as the Celtics get ready for the Sixers. And last year, we know what happened the first game, guys. We understand that. We know what happened the second game. But then they rattled 16 in a row, Sherrod. Mm-hmm. Are we expecting this team to come right out the gate on fire? Because the expectations are crazy high.
The expectations are crazy high, but so will be the level of competition. You know, the Celtics last season were one of the better teams from the jump, but they weren't a prohibitive favorite the way they are now. And so when you are that prohibitive favorite, everyone comes at you with greater force, greater intensity, greater focus because you have become the standard that they want to get to, and thus knocking you off in their minds brings them closer to that. So the Celtics, there's going to have to be some Jedi mind trick action going on from the jump. They have to get it in their heads that, you know what, we're really good, but we're not really that good. We got to prove ourselves night in and night out. They have to play that card because, frankly, if they come in there feeling that they all that, they're gonna get smashed.
Chris, they got to play that card. But they should have been playing that card during the preseason. They were totally acting the other way.
Drapes.
They were acting like Golden State.
Drapes, when we get to March, April 14th, 15th, about the time the playoffs starts, who the hell is thinking about what happened back in September? No one. Dog. It means nothing, Drapes, in the grand scheme of things. Nada.
But
zilch.
We'll find out if it means anything because they go right into the fire, right? Like Philly and then Toronto. You get some the top of the East competition. So you're going to find out real quick whether that preseason was an aberration or whether, you know, this team really has great strides to make. I do think that Brad Stevens, no matter how much they struggled, kind of loved what happened there because he can sit there for the past 9 days telling his team, you know, we got to be better. We need to take this to another level. We can't skip steps. He's got all the little talking points that he wants to hit. But yeah, Tuesday night, we're going to find out. Like if they go out there and roll the 76ers, okay. Preseason meant nothing. If not, maybe this team does have a little bit of work to do.
I agree. And as I was going to say my guy, Rick Pitino, but now
now he's not your guy.
He's unemployed right now.
Wow. Now he's not your guy.
But, hey, and if Terry Rozier, I'll tell you, Rick Pitino used to say, stay poor, hungry, and driven, Sherrod. You've heard me say that 1,000 times.
And this is poor, the first time you get attributed to the man who you heard it from, Rick Pitino.
I know.
That's
who I got it from, Rick Pitino.
That's another story.
And so I feel like it's important that this team stays poor, hungry, and driven. The reason they've been so successful over the last few years is because they've played hard every single night. Yeah. They had that dog mentality. They can't be fat cats already, Sherrod, because they haven't done anything. What does the Eastern Conference Finals mean? Nada. These guys still have to be hungry if they want to get to where they want to
That's
ultimately
That's part
get.
Of the challenge that awaits them. When you hear guys like your boy, Terry Rozier, talking about, you know, guys act like they won something already, that makes me a little nervous because if he's thinking that, I'm pretty sure he's not the only one in that locker room thinking that. And they're going to get an opportunity, as Chris pointed out earlier. I mean, reality is going to literally smack them in the face as soon as the season starts. If you're the favorite, can you beat the next best team? Okay, let's say you handle Philly. Can you beat the next best team after them? Toronto, in their building, which is always a tough place to play.
I agree, Chris. But here's the thing. Sherrod saying the Sixers are the next best team. Do you feel that way? Because I don't. I'm still considering the Toronto Raptors the second best team in the East. Plus, they got Kawhi Leonard. How can I discount Kawhi Leonard?
Drapes, it's not about discounting Kawhi Leonard. It's acknowledging and recognizing the fact that the Sixers have a core group that has been through the fires of postseason play. They have an established all-star. There are no chemistry issues with them. Kawhi Leonard, how many games have you seen Kawhi play with his teammates in the regular season? The same that his head coach, the same as Kyle Lowry, the same as Serge Ibaka have seen. None. We don't know how that's going to work. We know what the Sixers can do. We know their thing works.
We do know how it's going to work in Toronto. They're going to win 60 regular season games, be the best in the East, and then, you know, crap out in the second round.
No. See, Chris, you cannot use that lazy narrative regarding the Raptors. They lost to LeBron James every year. There is no LeBron James. So that whole second round hurdle, it was LeBron James. They had a LeBron James issue, that is not true. A second round issue, in my opinion.
But and it will be interesting to see if it would have been more fascinating to just see if he swapped out the coach. Does that change their mental hurdle that they could get by? Now, of course, LeBron not being in the East changes everything as well. But will this team play into old habits the same way? But it all comes down to Kawhi's health. And if he is anywhere near the player that we saw in San Antonio at his peak, then the Raptors should be the favorite to, or at least compete with the Celtics for the top of the Eastern Conference.
Is Kawhi better than DeMar DeRozan when Kawhi is right?
Yes.
There you go.
But Drift,
that's a wrap.
Take the qualifier out for a second. Is DeMar DeRozan, is Kawhi better than DeMar? The answer is, we don't know. Yeah. Because we don't know if he's right. And that's my point. That's why I can't put them ahead of Philadelphia. Because Philadelphia is the contender that I know. Toronto is the contender that doesn't even know themselves whether they're a contender right
and
now.
And I'm a Sixers guy. I'm from Philly.
I know. You're trying to be contrarian, but that's okay.
No, I'm not trying to be contrarian. Okay. I really don't think the Sixers are the second best team.
I think right now they are.
I think... Their offseason wasn't great.
No.
They lost some key players that were valuable to them down the stretch. I know the guys didn't perform in the postseason, but you can't tell me Ilyasova and Bellinelli, when they got those guys midseason, didn't change that team. And Sherrod. We don't know about Markelle Fultz. He looks good. Looks like he's getting back. But I think he's going to have to play a big role. Wilson Chandler has to get healthy. I do like that pickup, but what can Wilson give them? So I'm not ready to anoint the Sixers yet. I think they still got some growing pains to go through.
They have more known quantities of quality than Toronto. And Toronto is a good – look, not trying to hate on Toronto. That's just being real.
Don't do that, man.
No, I'm trying to keep it –
Toronto don't have the known quality of the
Sixers. Which is what I'm saying.
I'm not trying to diss Toronto or anything. Nah,
well, I'm not.
Put some respect on Kyle Lowry, all-star.
I'll put some respect on Kyle Lowry when he does something without DeMar DeRozan. How's that? I'll put some respect on DeMar DeRozan when he does something in San Antonio without Kyle Lowry. I'll put some respect on Kawhi Leonard when he returns to the form that he had before his injury. But until then, no. You're not getting respect put on that. No.
Drapes, I might go so far as to put another team ahead of the Sixers.
Don't say Milwaukee.
Indiana.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh.
I actually like Milwaukee.
I think no disrespect to Joe Prunty, who was put in a tough
get on him.
You better put some respect on Joe Prunty's name. Don't be dissing. No, I'm joking.
But they went and got a say a real coach, but a coach who has been in those situations, has coached good teams. I think that will help them go to another level. I mean, Giannis just keeps getting better and better. We saw what Chris Middleton could do in the playoffs. I mean, that team is a legit threat that I think people are sleeping on. I'm not sold on Indiana, but Milwaukee, I am completely bullish on. I think they, as much as any team, if they grow the way they're capable, is a scary team in this Eastern Conference.
What do you think, Sherrod? Milwaukee, Giannis taking that step forward. I actually like some of the moves they made this offseason.
The best move they made is with the head coach. Yeah. I mean, Prunty, that just wasn't the guy. He wasn't going to get it done. But Giannis, what we saw in the playoffs, he's going to need some help. I think Chris Middleton, I think the best thing that could have happened for him was to have the kind of postseason that he did to really kind of break out and do the kind of stuff that we've seen him do in spurts, but not with the consistency when the games mattered most. To me, the wild card in their growth and development is Bledsoe.
Yeah.
I mean,
he has the talent.
It's about mental state.
You're saying Terry Rozier?
Can he get over the Terry Rozier?
Exactly. Because, I mean, he had some good games against Rozier without question. But when you talk about who got into whose head more, it's a no-brainer. Right. I mean, he was thinking about Rozier. Even when he said, I don't know who the F that is.
Yeah, you do.
He's that dude that just busted you. he literally made you disappear.
But if you're Bledsoe, don't you got to come back better this year? Shouldn't you be pissed off the way last year ended?
Here's the thing about Bledsoe, though. I think he's been the same dude for the last 2-3 years. And that's not a knock on him. He's a solid player. But when you're talking about taking that next step to being a championship, deep playoff run type team, you got to elevate your game. You got to do what Rozier did. You got to do what Tatum did. You got to do what young fellas do when they get that opportunity to shine. You step your game up. He doesn't do that.
I agree.
Although his flapping the gums game is pretty nice.
And he has talent, but yeah, he has to elevate it. You know, and the thing about Bledsoe, I think he averaged like 17 a game last season, but those weren't meaningful points. You know, he needs to be more impactful when it matters the most.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's the top of the Eastern Conference. When it's all said and done, Chris, who comes out of the East?
I just think it's Boston just because, and it's going to sound like a homer pick, but I do think they're going to pace themselves. What the Boston that we see at the start of this season won't be the Boston by the end of it. I think we're going to see Kyrie and Gordon both get healthier, develop back to the players that we saw before. You know, maybe it will happen faster with Kyrie based on the preseason. I mean, he looked really good. And Gordon, it's obviously going to take some more time. But then I think, we still don't know how roles are going to shake down, rotations. You know, part of the bad preseason was that you think about it, normally by the end of it, we're sitting there going, all right, is Yabusele a rotation player? Is Ojale a player? But we didn't even get to that point because the starters were so bad that we were so focused on the poor showing overall.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't learn anything in the preseason. Right. I didn't learn anything.
And we're sort of going into the season, it feels like a little bit blind. Like, I still feel like just on paper, when you look at the teams in the East, the Celtics still are the best overall team with the best collection of talent. And I don't know who necessarily will emerge on the other half of that bracket. It would not surprise me if it's Milwaukee. Again, they played the Celtics as tough as any team did last season. But them, Toronto, Philly, whoever it is, I don't think it's as much of a cakewalk as some people have made it out to be for the Celtics to get to the finals. But I do think that the Celtics are understandably the favorite.
Boston is built for this. They're built for the deep, long playoff run. They're built to withstand injuries and not miss a step better than any other team in the East. And that's why they're going to steadily, regardless of who's in or out of the lineup, they're still going to be that team standing at the end of the day. That's what it ultimately comes down to. Do you have a team that can withstand the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations that you go through in a season? And they have proven that they can do that. And when you add in the fact, and if health is not a factor, it's not even close. It won't even be close. If they can keep their core group healthy for most, if not the entire season, they're going to run away with the East because they're that much better when they're at full strength. And that's what I'm talking about. Best case scenario is for them to run away if they're at full strength. I don't think they're going to be there, but right. I still think they're going to be good enough to win the East.
So Boston out of the East, who challenges Golden State out West? Houston, LeBron and the Lakers?
I'm going to tell you now. The Lakers make me nervous if I'm
going to say. Would you watch them all preseason or something?
This is what makes me nervous. Similar to what Milwaukee did to Boston last year, giving the Celtics a great run and giving them a stiff challenge, I think LeBron is good enough to do that to Golden State. Golden State will win that series, but you ain't going to knock them out in 4 or 5, maybe 6, maybe.
Lakers now, huh?
I just think that LeBron is that good. I think he's good enough to challenge the greatest team in the game.
Dog, I've been talking to you about LeBron for like 8 years.
And Dres, you make it sound like that's like, you know, like freaking Juwan Johnson or something like that. It's LeBron James.
But usually I'm the one hyping up LeBron, talking about how great he is.
It's called balance, Drake. Okay. Not drinking the Kool-Aid, something that I know you're familiar with, but man.
Great risk-reward situation, right? Like, if LeBron goes out there and gets everyone to on the same page and we know how good LeBron is, they're certainly capable of big things. But I think it can go the other way real quick. And you look at Rondo and Lance Stephenson and Lonzo, that thing could implode real quick. And I think it's more likely that LeBron realizes how hard it is to win without a legitimate supporting cast. And he sort of sits there and says, you know, maybe we'll just wait till next year when I get some help. And why expend all this energy? I'm going to go make a couple movies or documentaries or whatever he's into out there and figures it out. As for who challenges Golden State, you know, I'm not sold on the Rockets being as good as they were last year. I think their defense takes a step back, and that's gonna make it difficult. I don't know if there's a legitimate threat.
I think the team to watch out for is the Denver Nuggets. Listen, they got some play. I'm telling you, Dre, they got some talent under the radar.
This guy loves the bottom of the West.
I know, right?
They got. Listen,
did they make the playoffs last year?
They did.
Barely.
And they'll be
barely.
They'll be there again. Right. They're going to be a higher seed this year. That's. I just think.
I thought you were going to say Utah.
Yeah.
Utah's a great defensive team. Donovan Mitchell, awesome player. Your boy Jay Crowder doing his thing. The Stifle Tower in the middle with Gobert. Yeah. They got some players, but I'm there's something about them that's not. Is missing.
Well, you know what Denver has, man. They got length too.
They got length, they got size.
Yeah, they got youth. You know, they'll be a nice team. But ultimately, it's the Celtics and the Warriors.
Those are the two best teams in the
NBA. Isn't that crazy though that we're sitting here? And we're just so definitive that the Celtics.
But that's what we do, right?
I know,
that's
but it just blows my mind. Like if you told me 3 years ago that when we had IT and Crowder and that collection, like it felt like they were moving in the right direction, but it just. You know, I don't know if we would have sat here and said they're going to be a championship contender. It just happened so quick. You look back at last summer, the trade from down from one and hitting on Jason Tatum,
yep.
acquiring Kyrie, acquiring Gordon Hayward, and Danny Ainge finished fourth in voting for executive of the year.
That's crazy.
It's crazy how quickly things jumped up. But I will be fascinated to see how this team deals with expectations because Brad Stevens has never had that in his career. You know, Butler's always that spunky underdog. The Celtics have always been that upstart. You know, I want to see how this team deals with the pressure of expectations on top.
Every night, people are going to be gunning for them.
And they are not used to that. I mean, on this team, Kyrie is the only one. And the year that they won it, you know, that they weren't necessarily the overwhelming favorite to win it that year. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, we're getting ready for it Tuesday at 7. That's when our pregame coverage begins. The Celtics kicking off the 18-19 campaign against the Philadelphia 76ers. Before we get out of here, let's hear from some of the Celtics, Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, and Gordon Hayward, as they tip off the season against the Sixers.
Take me through the process. How did your first shoe come out? Like, how did you get into sneakers the way you are?
Well, man, it's a crazy process because Nike has kind of a mechanic that they put you through. And when I say mechanic, they have a system that they put Nike athletes through where they'll have focus groups on shoes that they, you know, colorways of stories in your life that you want to showcase. And then they see how that goes, and then they tell you yes or no whether or not you're getting your own signature shoe. And I was grateful enough to receive that opportunity, and I've been taking full advantage of it. So since day one of the Kyrie 1, it's been trying to be more hands-on and have creative input to be able to put things out that would be culturally moving. So
you had a crazy offseason. You had the movie, the rehab also. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your summer. How'd you fit it all in? How crazy was it?
Man, I finally got a chance to take my time. Like, this is my eighth media day, but for the last 7 years, I've been USA, season, USA, season, USA, whole USA in the summertime, Olympics. Like, you start naming playoffs, then you start naming the finals, and it's like, it just got the ball rolling in my career, which I'm appreciative of the opportunities, but my body was just, like, telling my mind, you have to slow down, like, you have to. And unfortunately, it led to, you know, something that was uncontrollable in my knee with the, obviously with the screws and the wiring and the infection. But I really took that time to finally just figure me out. And, you know, you're moving so fast in this NBA lifestyle, you can lose track of that. So I was just trying to find a happy balance of how to bridge that gap. And I feel like I did so.
Talking to the guys, they're expecting big things from you. They say you look better than ever. You feeling better than ever or feeling as better as well as you felt in a while?
Absolutely. I'm ready to kill.
What's that like?
I'm ready to kill. It's exciting. And because of that excitement from your teammates, it only gets me more excited because I expect the same thing from them. You know, you think about how much talent we have and how special we are as individuals, but the attitude and the camaraderie and the environment that the Boston Celtics have created over tradition of years is something that, great grateful to be a part of, because it's about a brotherhood. It's about, hey, you know, great players before you have sacrificed. Great players before you have committed to winning a championship and what that entails. Great players before you have done that. So why are you any different? There is no, you know, special treatment for that. Like, you're going to be who you are, and we're going to support that. And we want you to be the best you can be, but all in the team.
Who's made that leap? Like, he came back and you're like, dang, dude.
Well, Kyrie. Right. And I know that, but you say, like, whoa, he's already, but, you know, comparison to last year to this year, it's like he's on another level. Like, he's just taking another level. And it's scary for everybody else. For us, it's a good thing. But I think Jason Tatum, he's, you know, really taken a huge leap. It's very impressive the way that he's come together. So it's Jaylen Brown as well. So it's going to be a fun year.
Yeah. How good can you guys be, you know, as starting five, you know, the same one you started, you know, last year with Cleveland, let's say. You, Gordon, Tatum, Brown, and Kyrie. I mean, you got some weapons there. How good can you guys be, do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think that there's a lot of potential, you know, with our group. Mm-hmm. I think that for our group is we want to enjoy this, you know, this journey, you know, every day working together, getting better. I don't want to put a limit to, you know, how good we can be, because you know, our guys we can do it all on the floor, play outside, play inside. I think that our focus is really going to be on the defensive end. You know, we have to make sure that we're great defensively, and we have a chance to be very special.
Right. You talked about the expectations, but how do you stay in the moment? You know, I would imagine the expectation or the goal is to win a title, but that's in June. How do you stay in the right now, especially with some of the young guys on the team too?
Yeah, that's, you know, what we've been harping on early, I should say. You know, everyone looks at our group and says, well, you guys should be this, or you should, you know, when you're a Celtic, you always think championship, but you should be in the finals, you should win the title. But we understand that we have to start over. We need to build these good habits again. We need to start playing together. And really the focus is taking it, you know, day to day and a game at a time.
Robert Williams, tell me about that young fella. And just, I know you like to be a mentor to some of the young people and lead by example too. So just your relationship and how do you see that progressing with him?
Yeah, you know, what I notice about Rob is that he wants to do the right things. He wants to be better. He's in there working really hard. You know, I think that as a rookie, there's a lot that comes with the NBA world. You know, the team, off the court, just a lot of things going on. So for me, is to, you know, to help him in any way that I can. To be, you know, a very good pro, a very good professional, taking care of himself and everything. So, you know, I just see him already, you know, with that mindset that he wants to work hard, he wants to be a part of things, he wants to help us, and that's great to see.
You know, when we talk about chemistry, in my mind, I feel like if guys are playing the right way, then it'll come together. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you guys, you know, last year and now this year, you know, just the makeup of the guys, they know how to play the right way, the game?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that too, Coach Stevens is really good at putting guys in positions where they can be successful. So, you know, some of that is on Coach Stevens, but like you're saying, I think we do have a lot of good guys that understand what we're trying to do. And I think if we share the basketball, we can put up a lot of points and everybody can be happy.
Right. How good can you guys be? I look at Golden State starting five. Mm-hmm. When Cousins comes back, how good can you guys be?
Well, I think I don't want to put a ceiling on where we can go. I think we've got we got the potential to be good for a long time. And I think we have the right amount of young guys with veterans who have some experience. And these young guys, I mean, you can't teach experience. And the fact that they were able to get some of that with Kyrie and myself being out, having lots of responsibility last year in the playoffs, like, that's invaluable. And so I just think that we there's obviously a lot for us to do. I mean, we still have a lot of work just to try to get started here. But I think if we focus on getting better each day and really just trying to be the best versions of ourselves, we can go a long way.
Is Daddy always happy?
Daddy's always happy. You didn't see the video?
I saw the video. Daddy's Tell me about happy. That, man. Yeah. Did you think that was going to blow up like
I
that?
I did not think that was going to blow up. To be honest, I didn't want to do it. My wife, though, insisted. She wanted people to know she was pregnant and not just fat. And it just blew up. It was one of those things where in today's social media, like, one video can go viral like this. And a lot of people have been poking fun at me, but I think it's actually, it was pretty cool. And I think a human moment, a lot of people could, especially a lot of guys, you know, sided with me on just how I felt. And I am, though, really excited about we're going to have another girl.
What is it, three
little girls. Yeah. And the due date's in January, which works out because I think we're home a lot of January.
Okay. In terms of rehab, obviously you have good days and bad days.
Yeah.
You know, what was the challenge mentally, I guess, the biggest challenge mentally for you?
I think the biggest challenge besides getting over just watching, like, that's the first hurdle, is especially at the beginning of rehab, like, I'm in a huge cast, so I can't do much but sit there. Yeah. And I watched a lot of your shows, your halftime reports.
Pretty good, right?
They were pretty good. They were pretty solid. But I watched a lot of the shows, and that's, I mean, you're just sitting there, like, and it's killing you because you just want to, like, I came to Boston to play for the Celtics, not to watch the Celtics, no offense to your shows.
No,
and so once you get past that mental hurdle, then you get into the rehab, and it's definitely better at first because you can do stuff. So you're starting to feel like you're on the road to getting back. And then I started to get into the dog days of it where, you know, I'm going in to the facility every single morning just so I can do one more calf raise, just so I can get one more degree of dorsiflexion on my ankle. Like, these little tiny increments of gains that you sit there after 6 hours being at the facility, like, really? I was here all day and all I can do is one more calf raise. Like, it can get very frustrating, but, you know, I think it made me really appreciate the game. It kind of refueled my passion a little bit, and I'm glad those days are behind me.
Did you think you were coming back last season? Keep it real with me, Gordy.
Yeah. So I honestly didn't think about it really as I was going. To me, I went into facility like, I tried to go into the facility like every day, I'm going to get better today. And if I get better fast enough, maybe I'll have a chance to play. So that's why I didn't want to shut it out, like, and just say, no, I'm not going to be able to play. But definitely when it was like March or April and I still hadn't even run yet, I kind of knew, like, okay, I'm not coming back.
You say that, but it's not that easy, right? To just say, all right, I'm not coming back this year.
It's definitely not that easy, especially when there's so much talk about the playoffs and, you know, we were good. And so we were going to make a run. And I still felt like we should have beat the Cavs there in that series. And it's hard to just have to sit there and be like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to play.
Right. Now you got everybody back.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you looking forward to this? Let's get this thing going.
Yeah, man. It's something I've been looking forward to since I signed here in Boston. I mean, you could see it last year. That was a big reason why I wanted to come to play here, was you could see the talent on the team. And I remember telling a friend, like, they'll be good if I came here or not. They would still be good, which I didn't play last year, and we were still good. And so that's just extremely talented team, the depth that we have from top to bottom. You know, it'll be a fun year.
All right, you heard from the players. As we wrap it up, Chris, I'll start with you. What's the win total for the Celtics this season?
We saw NBA.com odds came out at, what, 58.5? That felt aggressive. I think this is a 56, 57 win team. Slightly under, if only because I do think they're going to pace themselves this season. I think they understand it's a potential 100-game grind. And if they're lollygagging in the preseason, then I think they're just going to take their chances to downshift, ease guys in during the year. Maybe they're not the one seed in the East, but as long as they're building to be very, very good by April and May, then the win total won't matter.
I'm going to go 58. I think they're going to be just below the over-under. And I think there's going to be a dogfight in the East among a lot of teams fighting really two through. Normally, there's usually like the top three or four teams, and there's like, you know, for those bottom four spots, there's six or seven teams fighting. I think this year it's going to be a lot of battling between like, you know, two, three, all the way down to 8, 9. I think it's going to be really tight this year because I don't believe that there's a clear and undeniable separation that exists. So I think the Celtics are head and shoulders above the rest as long as they stay healthy.
So you guys going with the under. I'm going over 63 wins for this team. Chris, you say they're going to pace themselves. What does that actually mean? Playing their bench? Well, the bench got them to the Eastern Conference Finals, Game so 7. True. And so I think this team is that deep. And I do believe when you talk about, you know, the hunger, you look at that bench, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, Morris, those are dogs.
Contract years, too, for a couple of guys.
Contract years. Those guys aren't going to just waltz through. I think they'll come in and be hungry every single night. So I'm going 63 for the Boston
63
Celtics.
63 and 19.
63 and 19. Ooh, that does sound a lot.
See, Drake didn't do the math for that
one. Nah, it's like, oh, yeah. No, but I think it's going to be a big year for them, man.
Man, that's only 19.
I think these boys are ready to live up to the expectations and the hype. And so it starts Tuesday against the Sixers. All right, boys, let's get out of here. Frazier, Rod Blakely, and Chris Forsberg. I'm Kyle Draper. Make sure you subscribe on all your favorite podcasting apps, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you go. Check us out, the Celtics Talk Podcast. We'll see you on Tuesday at 7 o'clock as the Celtics take on the Sixers.
We're out.